Well, amen. It's what a wonderful day. It's spring or fall. It was summer just the other day, and then it went like winter in the same day. I think it dropped like 30 or 40 degrees. It is really hard to know what's. I told my wife, I said, is this spring? What do we, you know, remember April showers? Remember that? I don't think we had much in April. I don't know what's going on. So I don't get to ride my bike anymore. So that's disappointing. At least today, maybe tomorrow. We'll see. Listen, aren't you glad we could come today to get our, to check off our mark? Amen. I mean, for being here. Pastor Nathan said at the beginning there, he said, we come and we want to learn something, grow something that'll make a decision. I'm afraid sometimes we come to check in. You know what I'm saying? I mean, by the way, we ought to come to check in, right? We ought to come to check in. We ought not forsake we ought to be assembling together. And so, but that should be like, that's what gets us out of bed when we're tired. Right? That's not, if that's all we're going to get here for, we won't keep checking in. Right? And so God wants to do something with us. And, is the Spirit of God, we just heard about the Spirit of God's doing something, is wants to do something in our life, but we have to be willing to let Him and really come with some anticipation. Right? I'm glad I always do that well. Right? We all have a work to do. And so I just want to just maybe encourage us tonight. We're continuing. Those that are here, we're continuing. I don't really intend to do this, but Matthew 23, we started somewhere and didn't finish it. And so I did a little bit more on it, didn't finish it. And so we're going to work on it tonight. And the good news is I'm not going to finish it. Because if I was going to finish it, we'd be here late. And so I'm going to be here as long as you're here. When people start leaving, I'm going to stop before that. Matthew chapter 23, I'm going to give a little bit of review because it's been a little while and other folks are here. And so I want, that's the challenge of doing kind of like this. We do a continuing thing, but, it's months, weeks and months and different folks come in. So we get a little bit of review. And we'll try to get back in there quickly and see. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1, the Bible says, Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. So we find here that this message that he's going to be preaching here and he's going to continue, we're going to look at tonight some more of, it was preached to two groups, to the multitudes and to his disciples. And so we find it was both to the lost, to the saved, to the religious, to the scribes and the Pharisees and all these. So we're going to get into this, but it's not just a, because he preached it to both, it wasn't just a chastisement of the Pharisees' behavior. Now, it was that, but it was more than that. The Lord was teaching his disciples, and if he was teaching them then, and he had this saved and printed and put down for us, then it's for us tonight. Amen? Okay. So if he put it down for us, it's for us, right? That's better. We're still working on it tonight. Okay, it's like every time I got to refresh. That's okay. That's all right. So at times the Lord uses these things to teach us, them and us, our own faults, our own failures. Other times he uses the faults and failures of others. The message from Jesus here, though, that we're going to get into in this passage is it's a condemnation of an attitude, of a spirit that the disciples might find themselves falling into, might find themselves beginning to have. We aren't reserved from the grossest of sins coming into our life. You understand? We're sinners. If you're saved here tonight, by the way, just because you're here tonight doesn't mean that you're saved. I mean, I don't know. You know, if you've, you know, just because sometimes we make an assumption because folks check in, they've received Christ. I checked into church many times before I finally ever had somebody share the gospel with me. They made some assumptions about me, and I made some assumptions about myself. And so sometimes that goes. And so when the Lord was preaching this message, he was preaching maybe to those that were obviously wrong, certainly that, but also those that would have been, maybe they didn't realize they were wrong. Maybe they didn't realize they had some of this. And also to the apostles and the disciples that really this would be behaviors that things would come into their life and they need to be instructed on this. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they dwelt in improper, wicked spirit, and they actually strived for this thing. They desired it. And so the Lord doesn't want us to go down that road. Amen? Doesn't want us to go down a road of having this. Really, it's a warning to us of, as the Lord said at times, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were not, I mean, isn't it weird sometimes we talk about the Pharisees, they can almost, if you don't really know the Bible well or you just hear it preached and don't read it, you might think the Pharisees were just some wicked sinners. Right? We can kind of get our idea, those Pharisees, yeah, those are like the criminals out there. I mean, because that's kind of how we deal with them, but they were really the zealots, right? Those that really tried really hard to be and what they were supposed to be, at least to look like what they were supposed to be. And so we could get that idea. These were the folks that were trying to, and so they were trying to be and trying to look like what we would think religious people should look like. And so, folks, we could find ourselves slipping into that, being more interested in looking the part than being it, right? And so some of this is what we're seeing here. So we find here then the seven woes. And so this message that Christ preached, prior to getting to the woes, he begins to give an introduction. Mind you, an introduction here was the message was about the topic of being self-centered. The Pharisees, the scribes, they wanted to be seen. They wanted to be honored. They wanted to be exalted and lifted up. But the Lord gives us here clarifies the spirit that we're to have as followers of Christ. It's different. Maybe it's different than what they would have thought, and maybe sometimes could be mixed up. It's kind of maybe a little more common to us today in the church age and this period of time. But let's look at here, verse 11. He says here, and it kind of gets this idea of what he's talking about. He says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And so we find it's a bit different thinking. If you want to be lifted up, go down. If you want to go down, be lifted up. You know, and if you lift yourself up, the Lord's going to bring you down. And if you'll bring yourself down, the Lord will lift you up. It's really reverse psychology, right? But not really. It's just this is the result, right? If you work hard, you're going to get a promotion, right? And so some things happen. You know, if you drink a lot of water, you're going to be healthier, people say. I've heard. I probably should, anyway, you know. So there's certain things that if you like donuts, you know, I'm just, you know, there's some things that it's cause and effect. And so this is what he's saying. He said, if you're going to lift yourself up, the Lord's going to have to bring you back down because he's not going to be glorified in that. If you're going to be really what he's looking for is servants. We're to serve one another. And so the Pharisees had perfected the art of self-glorification. It became what they became effective at. What they became good at is bringing attention to themselves. And the Lord's really just showing us here, and when I say really just, a lot of other things just, but is the thing of, is that's not what the Lord's looking for at all. God is not impressed with you. Isn't that hurtful? If that hurts you, you don't understand him, right? He's not impressed with us. He's not impressed with us. And so he wants to get us to a place. And the Pharisees were self-glorifying. And this is what the Lord is strongly condemning here. And so we're going to find here the seven woes. We looked at the first woe last time. I'm just going to read it. Verse 13, he says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." I want to call this first woe restricting truth. I'm not going to deal with it tonight. If you have to go back and look at the message and get that. And second one is verse 14. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make a long prayer, therefore you shall receive a greater damnation." I want to call that the restricting wealth is what we talked about. Last time we covered a whole two, right? I mean, that's moving. Tonight, there's some new material, right? Lord willing, and what I got planned, and so I think he's willing, is we're going to cover three of them tonight, and we'll see. And let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this new material that we have here. Our Father, we are thankful for who you are. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us to see you. Lord, we might have a passion for what you have a passion for. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see sinners as souls. Lord, we might see the great need in our own life. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to, Lord, each to have a self-examination. Lord, certainly, I don't imagine any here are in the same condition as those scribes and Pharisees, but Lord, we sure can find ourselves in some of those spirits and the attitudes. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that you help us as we look into these things, you would speak to our heart. Lord, would you bless your people? And Lord, if there's some here tonight that really don't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you would make that clear to them. Lord, we might, Lord, you'd be glorified. And we'll thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. So number three, the third woe we find here in verse 15. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." So I'm calling this one tonight, restricting salvation. Restricting salvation. So again, the woe is that of a hypocrite. It's like the Lord just, you kind of see a theme, don't you? You see a theme, and every time he's hypocrite, hypocrite, and we kind of go into that. And so he goes into that. So they're portraying here a character. They're putting on a disguise, right? Maybe an outfit or an outer look, right? Of something that they believe, and they believe that they wanted others to see. But see, here's what happens when we put on a disguise. After a while, sometimes what will happen, we find out what people want, and then we put that disguise on, right? I mean, that's what we do, no matter where you go. And when I say a disguise, sometimes, you know, it's not like glasses with the mustache and a big nose. I'm not talking about like that kind of disguise, but we'll do that kind of thing. We'll find out where people, and we'll kind of, you know, we want to sometimes just blend in, right? We'll want to do what others do, and how are they doing it? And I'm really kind of known for doing this. We'd go to a church, we'd go to some, hey, what's the dress code? You know, everybody's there wearing, you know, jeans and t-shirts, and I come in a suit and tie, and I'm like, I'm an idiot, you know. Or worse, I come in t-shirt and jeans, and everybody else is in a tie, and I'm like, oh man, I'd rather dress up than dress. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes you want to just find out what are other people doing, and you know what time, you know, what kind of food are we bringing? Are we bringing finger foods or steak? You know. And so it's kind of things that you kind of get to know, you want to know, but we want to do that sometimes. We want to just kind of blend in. And so sometimes what we can do is we'll put on a little bit of a disguise, we'll kind of begin to do that. But in this, what the Lord was talking about is going to a different level. They were intentionally deceiving, putting on a disguise. And maybe sometimes we'll do that with the intentions of just going to do it for now. But later, when God really deals with my heart, then I'll become something different. But here's what often what we do is that disguise becomes the character that we then portray. We can actually become that. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in some cause. That whether it's a just cause or not doesn't matter. But we can get so wrapped up in it that it becomes us. This cause can be political. Often we know more about somebody's political position than we know their spiritual position. You know, and sometimes we make assumptions, right? Well, if they're this political persuasion, that's the word I was looking for, sorry. Yeah, sorry. Well, that would have been on this side, because that side is, anyhow, sorry. Okay, where are we at? Okay, so sometimes we can find out. You know, you go, you don't know somebody very well, but you know what their political leaning is, right? We know what they think about the things. We know what they think about the current thing going on. We know what we know how bad they think everything is, but we really have no idea about their spirit. But sometimes we'll determine, well, if they like conservative things and don't like, you know, liberal things, or progressive or whatever, then they must be saved. And we're like, oh, so we kind of make some, so they become, but we can get so caught up in that cause. Sometimes it can be social, you know, social justice causes. And I don't mean some of the things we call social justice today. I mean, sometimes some good things, you know, trying to help society and trying to help folks and get so caught up in that. That becomes who we are. Can even be some form of righteousness, right? But the Pharisees here were more interested in proselytizing folks to their cause than to the Lord. Some of these issues aren't the thing. It's not the problem. It's not the problem that what they're interested in this thing or that thing or the other thing. Or that this. By the way, we all have our own interests, right? That's what makes us different. That's what God uses us in different sectors of life. There's some places that you'll be, people that you'll spend time with that my life would never cross, and other, you know. And God has you in different interests, things that you'll talk about. I'll look at like I have no idea. You know what I'm saying? Same. And so we'll do that kind of thing. God puts us in different places, but there's a difference between being interested in something and that something being who we are. Right? But the Pharisees became very focused on proselytizing folks to their cause, to their sect. They had compassed land and sea, finding those that would come to the Lord. But when they came, they were more interested in converting them to their way of thinking than to God's truth, you see. It's as if, you know, we see this, people have a supreme doctrine. There's a lot of folks have a supreme doctrine. It's like, what is a supreme doctrine? Well, it's a primary truth. It's like there's one thing that they're really concerned with. Matter of fact, a lot of folks like this, you get out, you'll find out really in a pretty quick fashion what's the most important thing about them. And I'm talking about things, spiritual things, things of doctrine, and this thing is the most important. That becomes their thing. Everything in their Christian life is focused around that thing. I'm telling you, can I tell you, folks, it's really ugly. It really becomes ugly because it becomes so prominent that truth about it actually becomes secondary. It becomes so prominent. This is the most important thing, and it's usually not stuff like the deity of Christ. It's usually not stuff like that. It's usually some kind of some other thing that becomes so prominent. And this is what the Pharisees were doing. They were focusing these. When folks would come in, they would draw folks to get to this way of thinking. And so they didn't win them to Christ or to the faith in the Lord here. They were developing followers of self. They were becoming, I've seen this with people, I've seen it. They become devout proselytes, followers, disciples of a way of thinking. And we kind of can be a little proud of it. It's kind of exciting. Look at that. Now they're following in this thing. And yet at times, and what we find here is they were doing that, but they were still separated from God and on the way to hell. It's bad enough that we can be distracted by something that's so important in our life that's what we lead people to. But the Bible says here that there was a problem that they were, it's not just that they were becoming followers of them, they were becoming followers of this certain thought. By the way, it doesn't even matter what the thought is, because we could have there's probably been 1,000 of those thoughts since this was written, right? There's certainly some today, and I'm not even going to go into those things, because if I start those things, that's all we're going to talk about. I don't want to talk about each one of those things, but there's a thing, and if that's my doctrine, that's my thing. Everything is about that, and everything's that, and it gets, and so it's so focused, and somebody, I've seen them, they're so excited about this truth, still separated from God and on their way to hell. Worse than that, though, I mean, how is it worse than still on your way to hell? That seems pretty bad. You know, but worse, they were doubly so. In that they would think that their adherence to this sect was their salvation. You know, this whole idea that as long as someone's going to church somewhere, it's better than not going to church at all. Can I just say to you tonight, it's not true. It's not true. Well, if it's Christian in the name, I'm telling you, folks, if you're like, well, I don't know if I agree with him, then you don't know the state of what's called Christianity today. I mean, what's called Christianity today is, I'm telling you, I don't know if you have to agree with this at all. Literally, you don't have to agree with this at all today to be considered a Christian church. So when someone says, well, at least my family member's going to church somewhere, I kind of cringe a little bit. You know, when I first had a desire to go to church and God was drawing me, I didn't know the difference. I didn't know the difference one place to the next. I really didn't. I had no idea. If somebody would have came up and said, hey, we are with Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we'd like you to come and come learn about Jesus with us, I'd have said, thank you so much. I'd have gone. I didn't know. I didn't know anything about it. If they had said, hey, we're with Haley's Comet, and Jesus has given us some latter-day information, and we'd like you to come, and I'd be like, wow, okay, if you got some truth. I really didn't know. I didn't know. We one day, we got dressed up for church. There was this little church that sent us this deal in the mail, and we were going to go to church, and we got all dressed up for church. We missed the early service, I mean, the regular normal service, because we slept in. You know, like the 11 o'clock something. And so I said, we're going to go at night. We're going to go the night service. They had it on there. We got there. We all dressed up, and I didn't really get dressed up. So I didn't wear my BDUs that time. I wore something nice, and they didn't have church. I said, man, where's another church? There was a Catholic church over here. I was like, let's go there. Except for they said services were in Latin. I thought, I don't think I know. I don't think that. I mean, you know, I just didn't know. You understand what I'm saying? Isn't God good? I don't want to really call myself an idiot, but I was certainly ignorant. I feel like I'd have went in anywhere and God directed me right to the place that had, praise the Lord for that. But as I begin, there's some different things, and I've learned there's some different things. And so, folks, let me just say tonight to you here this. If you're saved tonight, and you know what it means to be saved. When I say you know what it means to be saved, I mean, you know, pastor comes and says it, you know, each time somebody comes up, you know you're a sinner, these kind of things, it goes through this. If you say, you know what, I could sit down and tell somebody else how to be saved. You say, well, is that what it takes to be saved? No, but I'm telling you, if you don't know it well enough, if you don't know it well enough to sit down with somebody else and tell them how to be saved, then I would just say you don't know it well enough. And things that are different are not the same. There's too many places that call themselves a church that give a false sense of hope because of their adherence to a sect. And you're like, but they're so friendly. We ought to be friendly. I think friendly's good. If somebody came up and said, I'd like you to invite you to my church, the pastor, he is just friendly. I that'd be nice. But, you know, what about his preaching? I don't know. He's terrible, but he's friendly, right? I remember one church, somebody's telling about coming. I'm not talking about our pastor. I'm just saying other. But, you know, like, I can't believe he said that. It's funnier, but I didn't know. I've heard people say, I'd like you, you got to come to our church. Our choir is amazing. Well, I mean, I'd rather an amazing choir than a bad one, right? But that's, I mean, now listen, if you're talking about trying to get somebody in the door, that's good. I'm with that. But listen, I want to know that, listen, do they have the way of truth? Is there a gospel message? You understand? What is it that's exciting and interesting about that? Listen, what so many places that call themselves a church out there, it's not about a gospel message at all. It's really about having a good time. And you know what? I like to have a good time. Right? I like to have a good time. I like to laugh. I like to carry on. I like fellowship. But not at a cost of making folks a twofold more the child of hell. A social gospel is a Christless salvation. It's a man's salvation. And you know, we talk about this little thing, and somebody will say, "Hey, you know, he led me to the Lord. Yeah, she saved me. Now she saved me." And you're like, "Yeah, I saved him." No, I mean, we understand people say that sometimes, but the fact is, if it's separated from the Word of God, and somebody can do it outside of some other little fancy way that other than what the Bible says, really just very clear and simply, then it's man's salvation. If we have man's salvation, by the way, man's salvation is very readily available today. Very readily available. People have it all over the place. You get man's salvation all over. But man's salvation will not bring eternal life. It'll bring self-satisfaction. It'll bring self-satisfaction. In other words, I feel good about my Christianity. I just want to see, the Lord wasn't really playing. When he talks about woes, I know we had a kind of tough message this morning. It's another one tonight. Sorry. You know, it's just the way it goes, and the Lord knows. But when he's talking about woes, he's not saying, just do better. He said, there's a problem here. And I'm telling you, folks, maybe tonight God has already spoken to your heart about somebody that's in your life. And they're in this kind of situation. They're in a place and you know they don't have the gospel message. But they've told you, and they're your people, so they told you, and I know them. Of course they're saved because I know them. And so if I know them, they're all saved. Everybody I know is saved. It's like Calvinism. All my people are saved. They're all chosen. We'll do that later. So the thing is, we can get to, maybe tonight, I'd like you to just maybe consider this for a moment. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you're thinking about, you know what? Maybe right now you're thinking, I don't know that I could share the gospel with somebody and tell them about how to be saved. I don't know that I could do that. you know, that would tell me that maybe you're not really sure about yourself, right? The second thing would be this: if you know somebody sitting somewhere and you're like, you know, I know they're not really in a, you know, they do other things and they don't really believe salvation the way we do, but it's going to be okay. A twofold child of hell doesn't sound like it's going to be okay, does it? Amen? Doesn't sound like it's going to be okay. It sounds like the Lord is trying to say, hey, listen, not just to those scribes and Pharisees, but the rest of us, maybe just to say, hey, this is something that we're going to have to get our heart around. It's a little more serious. It goes in the second, the next one. Listen, let me say this. Hypocrites is what he says. And this hypocrisy, what they were doing is living out like everything is okay and letting folks around them think they're okay. I'm just saying, I don't know what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. I don't know exactly what we get. I have an imagination. Sometimes my imagination's a little, you know, but I have an imagination. I imagine we're going to get up into heaven. It's going to be exciting. I don't know, a Superman fly. I don't know. Maybe it's just floating. I don't know what it's going to be like, that part. But I imagine we're going to get up into heaven. It's going to be so exciting. We're going to be, you know, there's going to be a buffet, right? And we're going to have that feast. It's, I don't know. It's going to be a good old time. And then there's going to be these things and situation. And then there's going to be the resurrection of the unsaved. I'm imagining with, okay, y'all imagine with me, and that what that's now that's going to happen, but it's going to come up, and I kind of imagine they're coming up, and I'm over here, and we're over here carrying on, singing praises and hallelujahs, you know what I mean, having a good old time. All of our voices are going to be in tune, right? We don't have to have second and third, just do it. Man, it's going to be wonderful. We're just having a good old time, and then all of a sudden there's this line that goes on for eternity, right? And they come up, and they're going to, one by one, be judged. And the rejoicing kind of ends, stops for a moment. There's a pause on it. And one by one, we see folks that are really people, like souls. You know what I mean? And I don't know, maybe there's different rooms where we get together, but I kind of just imagine maybe, I don't know if it's going to be just like this. I'm just saying to you, I imagine this is going to be the people that kind of came in my life, maybe the ones that I knew. There's going to be some that I shared the gospel with, and they rejected. I think it's still going to be sad because I know them. You understand? But I always wonder about this. Is there going to be some there that I kind of gave a pass to? You know what I mean? Well, they're my people, and you know, the Bible says there's going to be a time when all tears are going to be wiped away. It seems to me that there's going to be a time there's going to be a lot of tears. I don't think that's going to be an exciting time, even though we're with Jesus. I don't think that's going to be an exciting time because that's his creation. He's going to be plunging. He's going to be sentencing them. I don't think it's going to be exciting for any of us. So when Jesus deals with this woe, he calls them hypocrisy. Listen, hypocrisy isn't just ugly. It's damnable. It holds people in a false hope that they will not even seek God's way because they have been sold a bill of goods that is false. By the way, not just my bill of goods. Would say it's got to be just what? No, listen. Woe to those that would make a cause more important than the gospel message. Woe for. Look at verse 16 with me. He says, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blinds, for whether is greater the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? He said, whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth thereon. Therein. And And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Man, that is a lot of words. You just read through that, you're like, uh-huh. Some Bibles like that. You read it and you're like, you're saying this and that. And we're thinking, I'm thinking this morning when Pastor was talking about booths, I'm thinking about like a pup tent, just, you know, a little stick, boom, it pops up, right? Camping out, you know, with like an extra room, fans, vents, you know, bonfires, marshmallows. No, I mean, listen, it was different. Sometimes we get a little different situation and we think about the situation's different. They understand there was something going on here and there was this temple and how we're talking about the gift and talking about the gold of the temple. And listen, this was about serving God. Rather, this was not about serving God. They were teaching for truth their made-up religious system. See, they had made the determination that the rituals and codes had certain meanings. So if you do this, it means that. You do this, it means that. And you say, well, how do we know that? Well, because we know. I'm telling you, folks, this is the kind of world we live in. It's not only then, but today. We live in a time of Christianity that is so distorted that people say anything and they'll defend it to the death. You ask them why? Well, because it's obvious. Or they'll have some, you know, secretive language that only they and God know. Isn't that convenient? God told me. Really? So they were developing ways here, the Pharisees, they were developing ways to circumvent righteousness so that they might gain wealth and while still looking righteous. You know, we found a really good loophole how to, you know, you can only go a Sabbath day's journey, but if you'll set something down here, you could go further, right? The whole law, the whole Old Testament law, they made compromise. They made ways that we can actually stretch it out because, you know, and there's all kinds of things that we do the same thing today. And I've told you the story before when we first got saved and we wanted to go to this buffet at a casino. We weren't going to gamble. I don't even do the 50-50 raffles. You know what I mean? We weren't going to gamble, but I heard they had a good buffet. And as you can tell, that time I wanted, so we asked them, hey, can we, you know, is it okay for Christians to go to buffet? And they're, well, you know, yeah, as long as you're not gambling. I mean, at a casino. Is it okay? And they said, well, yeah, as long as you're not gambling, you just don't look at the gamble. I mean, you know, this pretend. So you know what we do? We kind of find ways to make things work the way we want them to work so we can feel good about looking righteous but doing unrighteousness, right? By the way, if I needed to ask, I already knew the answer, right? So they had established here a system that made the sacrifice or a gift a way out of following the word of God. Keep your place here. Well, we're just going to be a couple chapters over chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, he's going to deal with this topic that he's talking about there in Matthew 23. In chapter 15 and verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. So we see here then the Lord dealing with this woe. It is based on a tradition. We're going to see this in just a moment. But some of these traditions that they had were in exclusion of the truth. Sometimes today we'll call them church tradition. And how we do something. And I'm not necessarily saying the things we do here, but I'm saying this is the stuff that's out there. Things that how we do this thing. And this is the church tradition. And it becomes something that if it's always been done like that, it's obviously right and what we ought to do. And so they were concerned here about Jesus' followers not following tradition, which to them was equal to sin. They're not washing their hands. You know, we always wash our hands. They don't, they're unclean. Well, based on what? Well, because we've always done it that way, right? And so Jesus has a thing to say about that. Look at verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? So to be sure, the Lord makes quite a comparison and a contrast between tradition and commandment. Look at verse 4. He says, for God commanded. Now he's talking about the tradition. Now he's going to say, but for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, he says. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I'm telling you, you know, when we look at this thing, what was going on, they had devised a way to determine if we do this thing, we can get out of this other thing. I'm saying, I'm glad that they did it and we never think like that, right? We would never think of how can I not do what God wants me to do. I'm telling you, it's like we are like built-in excuse machines. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, God said, well, you know, he couldn't have meant that because that would mean, you know, we might have to go to jail for that. Oh, okay, well, then that's exclusion now. We don't have to follow, you know, I would do it if I'm not going to do it, but I'd like to rip a page out of my Bible and throw it because that's kind of akin to what we would do. I'm not going to do that. Should have wrote a fake book. Got a little bit of, y'all woke up then. There's this, we do this, folks. We say, certainly God couldn't have meant that. Sure, there's some similes and metaphors. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, but we get to this kind of thing that we can begin to, just as the Pharisees, we begin to justify and find a way to, listen, tradition, when it usurps the purpose and authority of the truth of the Word of God, it's foolishness. And it can be blindly followed by those that would rather take man's way than God's truth. Listen to what I'm saying to you, folks tonight. This isn't the Lord just talking to the Pharisees. It's him talking to us and things that are going to come up in our life. Why would a son, we find here, why would a son rather not meet the needs of his parents and instead give it to the temple? It's a weird, this whole thing, matter of fact, I've studied this out more than once, and every time I study it out, it kind of comes to like, huh? You know this thing, this Corbin, and this what was going on here? There's other things going on, and the fact of the matter is, I don't have any idea why a son would say, I don't want to take care of my parents. As God said, honor them. And we were talking about it, he makes it clear that this honor them was taking care of them. So kid, y'all got to take care of your parents. Amen. Just thought I'd use that. We find here, and he said, you know what they found is a way to get out of that. And then he said, you know, because you did it this way, you're free. You don't have to follow that. Man, we have some stuff like that. And I don't want to get into this too much, but we have some stuff like that with marriage, divorce, how we can get out of it. If this, that, we do some of these things and we kind of, well, God couldn't have meant this because that, you know, imagine thinking about our society today and say, well, God couldn't have meant that was bad because our society is so full of it. That'd be like most everybody. Well, that's not about this. It's about this, right? So I don't know exactly why a son would come and decide I want to, you know, or a daughter would say I want to do that rather than taking care of my parents and get out of that the command and the instruction. But it pleased man to do so more than it pleased God. Tradition has a way of focusing on pleasing men more than it does about pleasing God. And I think the reason we like to please men more than we like to please God is because we don't think about God. You know, I want people to like me, and I want people to think well of me, right? And so we can have a tendency to want to do this more than we do this. The scribes and Pharisees were leading men into this behavior for their own gain. The Lord says, woe unto them. Woe unto them for that kind of behavior. And then the fifth one, last one we're going to look at tonight, back in Matthew 23 and verse 23. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. So I'm calling this fifth woe restricting faith. Restricting faith. They did the smaller things, right? Even legalistic. I have seen some of the worst Christians I've ever known that still tithe. Pastor's like, can I meet them? No, I'm kidding. No, I've seen people that barely come to church. They live ungodly, but I got to give my tithe. I mean, okay, you ought to have done that, but it's like, I'm going to do that thing. And this is what was going on. They left undone that which had a heavier or weightier effect. Okay, they focused on what they liked, or rather what was easier. I used to always tell people about missions. I said, the easiest thing you can do in missions is just give. Right? You know, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to talk to somebody and get rejected. Rejection is lovely. You know what I mean? You don't have to get rejected. You ever had a missionary say, you know, Pastor, I cannot receive support from your church. No, I mean, you know, they'll take it from anybody. You know, so the thing is, what I'm saying here is what we often do is we want to go to the things that are easier. We like the focus on the easier, that which is physical, right? That can be seen, the visual things. I mean, remember they'd come by and drop their coins into that, right? I mean, you know, and tink, you know, aren't you glad we don't have to we're putting an envelope. I don't even want anybody to see there's only a one on there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like a $1. Y'all remember cash? Anyway. It's not that they were to neglect the tithe. They ought to have done that, Jesus said. Well, I think tithing is Old Testament. Well, we're done right there. It just tells us. You ought to have done it. Jesus said it's read. He said it. It continues. Amen? We move on from that. This commandment to give God the tenth was instructed from the beginning. Jesus said you ought to have done it. It was a way to continually remember our dependence on God. I'm going to tell you what, when you get less paycheck than you have bills, which is like all of us, right? And you got to think about, you know, like my one paycheck isn't going to pay my rent. Right? So you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to take some out of this week. And I'm going to have to take some out of this week. You know what I'm saying? That's how you do it. You know, every week, I'm thinking about where I live. I am. I better take that money out so I can keep the lights on. Right? I'm thinking about that. You know, it causes me to think about, I need, you know, at least, you know, those that pay the bills. You know? And you do that thing. God said, listen, here's what the tithe is. God needs your money. No, I'm kidding. Y'all with me tonight? It's a hard one tonight. Humid? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's me. Okay, listen. God said, I want you to, every time you get an increase, to remember me. Think about me. Keep me on your mind. You know why? Because we're prone to wander. He said, listen, you ought to have done that thing. The problem was that they had made their primary service. They had made tithing their primary service. Go ye into all the world and tithe. Right? Isn't that how that goes, Matthew 28? right? I mean, listen, by the way, that, don't, we're not trying to put, but Jesus said, you've done that, but you've left the weightier matters. You've done the other things. They rejected and left undone the things that were challenging or uncomfortable. Things that would actually be a service to God's people and to those that needed to see the Lord. Mercy, faith, but also judgment, which is to begin at the house of the Lord. Look here, verse 24. He said, you blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You ever accidentally swallowed a bug? And you don't really know it until it's on the back of your mouth. You know what I mean? Don't you hate that? You know, you just, you know, and oh man, I hate that. And you're just, gnats, them little things. You know, he's saying here, they were so focused on those small things. The things that they wanted to be concerned with. You see? So they wanted to struggle with and make an issue of and make a big deal about and bring to attention. You see what I'm saying? These small issues that, by the way, he does say there's some that are weightier than others. Well, everything's important to God. Well, yes, but he also says some are weightier than others. I didn't make that word. We just read it, right? So some have a little more, you know, interest and elevation by the Lord. And he said, well, often what we'll want to do is we want to make the smaller things, the things that are a big deal to me. I've seen people that worried about, I mean, really, really worried about how people dressed coming to church that never went to church. Yeah, you know, over to that church, they all, some of the things, you know, the way they dress over that church is just disgusting. Well, how do they dress at your church? Well, I don't have a church. Well, praise the Lord for you, right? You know, you see what I'm saying? Sometimes, and other things, and we could, you know, they like, man, over here they do this, and, you know, that pastor, all he ever does is this, that, you know, well, you know, what does your church do? Well, I don't know. I haven't been to church in a while. It's straining at a gnat, you know what I'm saying? Straining at something that gets a hold of something, and we want to say, this is so important to me, and what it causes us to do, and what Jesus was talking about here, while we're straining at that thing, we swallowed down the camel. You ever swallowed a camel? Camel's big. You know, it's ridiculous. It's meant to be ridiculous. Jesus said we're supposed to swallow camels. No, what he's saying is we make a big deal out of small things, and when we make a big deal out of the small things, the big things, we just accept. We just receive it. Like, well, no, you know, I know of this thing, but this is important. And so all the other things that come along in our life and it becomes something that we leave it alone. And they swallowed down they were so focused on the issues which benefited them. You know, I like everybody to think everything I think is important to be important. I want you to agree with me 100% on everything I think. Right? I mean, we're all like that. If I was wrong, I would change my opinion. So you must need to change. You know, so sometimes we'll get caught up in that thing. It's like, I just want everybody to be like me. I haven't found anybody like me yet. Good thing for all them. You know what I mean? We're just not like that. And so we get these little things and we want to get focused on something. And if, you know what I want everybody to really care about? All the things I really care about. And not care about the things I kind of like, let's don't talk about that. You understand? This is what was going on there. So focused. They swallowed down the big issues of their own failures and as nothing. It was their own disregard for the truth of the Word of God. But they strained at those things that are at the top of their list. I want to just come to this conclusion tonight. These woes that the scribes and the Pharisees were now called out on is a result of their self-centered religion. It had ceased to be about seeking God. stopped being about God. It was primarily about me. It was no longer about seeking his purpose, seeking his goal, building his kingdom. It was about building their own kingdom, setting up my own situation. You know, so we could all find ourselves focusing on the things that we feel are most important, that we end up swallowing the camel. We accept sin. Accept unrighteousness in our lives and those around us. Rejecting personal conviction and change. Well, that's just, I'm telling you folks, we see it all the time. If we're honest, we'll see it all the time in the mirror. We'll see it. We certainly see it around us. Like, man, why don't those parents see what they're doing to their kids? You know, you see husbands speaking poorly about their wives or to their wives, disrespecting them and not treating them like they're. You're thinking, how do these people call themselves Christians? How do they not get that? And you know, it's you know, to me, some of these kind of things, and we're just like, well, you know, we're in the 21st century, so we can just do about those, whatever about those things. And everybody knows now. I mean, the gospel's on TV, so, right? We begin to accept sin and accept unrighteousness and reject these things. We do not come to this altar, do not straighten out our lives. We rest in what we're already doing. We rest in the positions that I've really tried hard to strain at. I'd like it better if it was we were talking about them. You know, I like talking about them because then it's not me. We could become guilty of primarily persuading people with our way of thinking. Our pet peeves, our focused righteousness, it becomes the gnat that we strain at. Building our kingdom instead of self-righteousness. I'm sorry, building our kingdom of self-righteousness, building up my way of thinking and folks coming along this way. It is, folks, it's a challenge to not make what's important, what's most important to me, to be what I make most important to everyone else. So how do I not strain at a gnat? How do I not get so focused on the things that are so important to me that's what I win people to my way of thinking? How do I deal with that? Because it's a challenge, folks. Folks, I have a doubt. Well, I've seen this before, and this really feels good to me. And when I worship this way, I enjoy it. And so I don't know. And we begin to, I mean, I hear people, you know, trying to convince other people to do this and that, and it just becomes a whole thing. How do we stop straining at a gnat? Well, the answer is to make what is most important to the Lord to be what's most important to me. Judgment, mercy, faith. Let's strain at those things. I mean, you know, like judgment, like judging others. No, wait. Let's strain at judging ourselves. Y'all, let's have a judgment party, like where we all get and like look at our own heart and seek God. Now, or let's just find one of y'all. We'll get there and we'll all point something out. I mean, let's strain at something that's going to make a difference. What's important to God is, you know, mercy. Man, what God has done, what we could give to folks by not giving them what they deserve for what they've done to us. Faith, and let's strain at those things. Causing others to look at Christ, not at me. Yes, These are woes to the scribes and Pharisees, but they can also be instructional for us, to us, for us, the things that our flesh is so prone to do. Here's my prayer, Lord. Help me to keep my heart and my eyes on you and not trapped on what's important to me out here. It's a big task. It is a big task. But through him, we're able to do it. If we'll say, Lord, search me. See if there be any way in me, any wicked way in me. Try me.